Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Handing over Dublin riot photos to Gardaí will put photojournalists at risk. That's according to Eamon Farrell, photojournalist and editor of photo news company rollingnews.ie. And Eamon joins me on the line to explain that. Eamon, you were presented with a warrant from An Garda Síochána yesterday to seize images taken on the night of the far-right riots on the 23rd of November last.
Yeah, that's correct, Adrian. They arrived yesterday at an appointed time to our office in the Digital Hub. And under protest, we had to hand over the images that our photographers took on that night. I was very reluctant to do it, but to be honest with you, this is about the fifth time I've had to do it under protest. And I do feel that the role of visual journalists as objective and independent recorders of events without fear or favour is being undermined by the Garda's insistence on doing this.
Okay, now, obviously, being photojournalists, you would have had a lot of photographs taken on that night in a very dangerous and precarious situation. Were these photographs not published anyhow, or were they ones that weren't published that the Gardaí were looking for?
Yeah, you see, it's of course, there was quite a few of them published, but it's the ones that the ones they are looking for is the ones that weren't published. In fact, what they're looking for is everything that our photographers took on the night, which in previous cases has ended up being 350 to 400 pictures. In this case, probably about 100 plus images.
And obviously, the reason that the Gardaí are looking for these photographs is to help their investigation. But your concern is that it is putting photojournalists in general in danger by having to do this. What is your concern? Explain it to me.
Well, the concern is that if you take the night of the riots, okay, our guys were out with just their cameras and the guards were out with body armour, helmets, shields, etc. And people will have seen on the various videos that went around an individual Garda who hadn't got body armour on him being pursued by far-right protesters as if they were a pack of hyenas and attacking him, throwing objects at him, hitting him. And our photographers, when they're covering these situations, are blind to what's happening around them because their eye is in the camera. They just see the view in the camera and they become very, very vulnerable. And particularly our concern is when these protesters become aware that our images that we take on the night are going to be assessed by the Garda and used as evidence, if probably, they will be more inclined to take a very, very difficult view of our presence.
Let me ask you, I mean, is there harassment from the likes of the people that we saw on that night in November?
Let me put it like this, Adrian. I've been covering these events since before the H-Block riots at the British Embassy, and I have never seen the level of intimidation and harassment that our photographers experience at not only this event, but at far more low-key events. The level of abuse, the level of insults, the level of threats that people's cars are going to have their tires slit, that their homes are going to be burned, is unbelievable.
And is it that they don't want to be photographed? Is that what the problem is here?
Well, the problem is that these particular people are not interested in the media covering any of their events because they cover them themselves and send them out to their own followers. They don't want us present. And as soon as they see us present, we are harassed. Now, I have no problem, for example, people taking pictures of us or videoing us. But while they're doing it, they're abusing, pushing, and threatening. And this is escalating all the time. It started off kind of at a low level, but now it has got so serious that I'm really concerned that one of our photographers, if the guards continue on demanding the images the way they are, and the word gets out that people may be end up in court as a result of images taken by our photographers, then they will be in danger. And as we know, these people are now burning down buildings. So they have no hesitation in attacking photographers or other journalists. It's just almost out of control. And we still have a job to do. We want to record what's happening, whether we support or don't support the objectives of the people. We have to go out there. We are the frontline people in these situations.
Now, you mentioned that this isn't the first time that you were under warrant forced to hand over photographs. What other sorts of examples have happened in the past?
Well, for example, the last one, I can tell you what the last one was. The last one was about 5 years ago when not far right, but some people protesting against the military presence in Shannon threw paint over the Department of Foreign Affairs. And we had a photographer there covering it. And we were served with a warrant. And we were called, the photographer was called to court for 2 days. We had to have a presence in court. And for that event, which actually cost the state, in terms of damage, €1,000, and they demanded 350 images of us, when in fact we had only used and put up on our website 10 images. So the extent to which they are using us instead of body cams is quite unacceptable. And it's not our job to be the eyes and ears of the state.
That's what I was about to say to you. Event. But you obviously feel that some protesters will see you as being, and photojournalists in general, as being the eyes and ears of the state. That, you know, you take a photograph today and the guards will have it tomorrow.
No, absolutely. And we have gone out of our way previously at events, whether they're, you know, protests or whatever, to assure people that we are independent observers. And we have no intention of providing our imagery to the guards. But when the guards present you with a warrant, and in that warrant it says that the judge has decreed that they can use forcible entry, if necessary, to get what it is they're looking for, we have no choice but to hand it over. But we do resent it, and we do think it is putting our photographers and other photographers in danger.
As a matter of interest, have you spoken to the Gardaí about this and explained your fears?
Well, I've explained it on the media before, and the NUJ issued a statement last week in relation to it. And as far as I know, the NUJ is going to raise it with the Garda Commissioner, because it is just something that they're, you know, it's continuing on. And basically, I explained it in detail to the two guards who arrived yesterday. But they don't seem to grasp the fact that it is actually putting our own photographers in danger. And it is also damaging the objective nature of what we do. And, if it continues on, I'm afraid that some photographer would be lying on the ground with blood coming out of their head, and the guards will put up their hands and say it's nothing to do with us.
And is it, in your opinion, are body cams the solution to this? So that if every Garda, even at a situation like the riots in Dublin that night, if every Garda had a body cam, then they wouldn't need to come to you for photographs?
Well, that exactly is my opinion. And in fact, there would be far more cameras, available than the maybe 5 or 6 photographers who were on duty that night. So body cams is the obvious solution if that's what they want to do, if they want to have a recording of the events that are taking place. And those recordings, of course, will not be objective and independent, but ours will. Mm. But look, if that's what they need, then that's what they should be doing.
OK, now just on this, Seamus Dooley, the Irish Secretary of the NUJ, said that the decision to try to force the photographic news agency to hand over images was an extremely dangerous move and could put at risk photographers covering public order incidents in the future. And that's obviously one of your concerns. But I just got a text in and just want to throw it to you, Eamon. And it says, if the police can't look at this photographer's photos, who can look at them and why is he taking them?
Well, let me put it like this. We don't have a problem in the police looking at the pictures that appear on media platforms. That's totally independent from us supplying our images to the Gardaí. It's a totally different situation. We have no problem you know, if the pictures appear in this in the Irish Times or appear in the Independent, and the guards go and look at them, we've no control over that.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do have control over is the images, you know, that we have on our own files and presenting them to the guards to use in evidence. That's our problem.
Okay. Eamon, stay with me for one second because I want to bring in Dr. Robbie Smith, who is Head of Journalism and Media Communications at Griffith College. Robbie, what are your thoughts on what you've been hearing?
Well, I understand that the Gardaí have an important job to do. And it's probably one of the most difficult jobs in society at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And they see us and they see society at its worst. But they have to protect journalists. And journalists aren't there to, you know, report on an event in terms of what the guards want. They have to do that. They have, you know, extensive powers of surveillance. In years past, I was at events where the guards were photographing people and filming them. So I don't see why they can't, if this information is important to them, why they can't take that. All over, you know, in Ireland, if you look at the NUJ website and Britain and United States, there's an ongoing pattern of journalists who are being targeted by the police and arrested at events because the police don't like the way they're reporting or they don't they don't want the pictures of people being arrested published. So their press passes are sometimes not recognised. Journalists have been arrested and detained in Britain. It would be terrible if that was going to be the case in Ireland. We need the Gardaí, but we also need a free media to be able to report on things.
Okay, but it could be argued that if, and you know, if you look at the riots in Dublin, a horrible night for the city, it spread around the world, a major investigation launched by the Gardaí. We all want to see those involved prosecuted to the full extent of the law. And if some photographs from a journalist can help in that way, surely the guards are right to seek the pictures, are they not?
No, they're not, because they're the police. The journalists aren't. At the minute you begin to cross that Rubicon of that any journalist who's at a protest, that what they're recording can be taken by the guards, it's a slippery slope. Because if there was a, hopefully never, but an occasion where the guards misbehaved, they could get a warrant and rock up and confiscate material.
Okay, and I'm also joined by Dr. Roddy Flynn, who is an associate professor in the School of Communication in DCU. Roddy, are journalists and photojournalists at more of a risk now while covering events like these, bearing in mind that the Gardaí have seized photographs taken on the riots night?
Well, I think they're more at risk in general because there seems to be in a kind of a, I mean, politely, a kind of a coarsening of attitudes towards the presence of journalists at public protests in general. I think that's kind of self-evident, and there's a clear kind of social change there. I mean, to some extent, my sense is that whether a guard seizes or seeks access to kind of a full set of photos, it's not that it's irrelevant, but the journalist is in danger regardless, simply by dint of their presence, and that's a new thing. So there's clearly a policing issue here because a journalist is doing nothing more than seeking to objectively depict the life world that's going on out there, you know, and they should be protected in their capacity to do that. And that means, you know, protecting them as they're actually undertaking their activities.
And does that need protection in law? Do we need to bring in laws that protect, and, you know, we always speak of protecting journalist sources. You could argue that this is the exact same thing, I suppose.
Well, there's two aspects here. I mean, the first protecting law exists. It just needs to be enforced. Like, everyone has a right to kind of bodily integrity, not to be, you know, verbally threatened in the conduct of their activities in public. There's a secondary issue then about protection of journalistic sources that you mentioned. And, I mean, this is an issue I suspect the Oireachtas is going to have to look at more urgently, I think, than in the past, precisely because there's obviously an increasing incidence of kind of Garda seeking this kind of information. Strictly speaking, there is no legal protection of there's no legal concept of journalistic privilege in Ireland. But in general, case law in Ireland tends to support the idea that journalists can protect sources. This is a particularly unusual case, though, because usually when you're talking about protection of sources, you're talking about somebody the journalist has spoken to in private.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, the understanding is my name will not be divulged. Now, here you've got somebody who's taking images of public activities. There's no kind of understanding between the subject of the photograph and the photographer. So it's a slightly grayer area. But I mean, there was a court case last year, a case that went all the way up to the Supreme Court, where the Gardaí had seized or sought a warrant to seize a journalist's phone, I think, from Roscommon, and gone back and forth through the district court and all the way up to the Court of Appeal and the Supreme Court. And initially, the Gardaí had been given the warrant and eventually got to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said, actually, no, there is a thing called journalistic privilege. It may not be in law, but the concept does exist. But at the same time, the judge at the time said that the case was significant because it identified the fact that there was a lack of safeguards in law to protect the idea of journalistic privilege. And he advised that the Oireachtas need to take a look at this. So I do think this case brings that up.
I want to go back to Eamon Farrell again. Eamon, I want to read a message that just came in and get your reaction to this. It says, I agree with the photographer that this puts them in an unsafe position, but does he not realise that he is the one now getting the word out there to the far right that this is happening with the Gardaí? Does this not put photographers at more risk because you've been so public about this?
Well, it's an interesting point, but I don't think so. Like, one of the things that I sometimes am concerned about is that the number of protests taking place in Dublin, which are covered by photographers and I'm sure by reporters as well, very seldom make it to the national newspapers, because some of the national newspapers seem to think that if we ignore it, it'll go away. But the reality is it's not going away. It's growing. I mean, there was quite a big protest, I mean, relatively speaking, people marching from Nace to the new Ukrainian centre that's been built outside Nace there 2 weeks ago. I would say there was 300 people marching from Nace up to it. And there wasn't I covered it. There wasn't a single word in the newspapers about it. And if you go to what's happening in the country, that buildings which are supposed to be allocated for refugees are being burned down like willy-nilly, we have a serious, serious problem, and staying quiet about it, whether it's in relation to photographs or anything else, is not going to help. And I mean, like, one further thing, technology now exists that photographers could be asked to live, a law could be passed for photographers to live stream their images from their cameras back to Garda HQ, because that's the logical next step. If what's happening now is allowed to happen, that, you know, court orders have been issued for journalists to, you know, surrender their images. And our data is like a reporter's notebook. It has to be interpreted by the photographer, and a reporter's notebook has to be interpreted by the reporter. And just grabbing every single image that has been recorded in the night sometimes has no relevance to us what was actually happening. It has to be interpreted. So we do object, and our job as well, by the way, is to record. If guards are being attacked, we record guards being attacked. If the protesters are being attacked by guards, we record the protesters being attacked by guards. We do it objectively and independently, and I don't want that to finish.
And obviously your concern is that you will be seen, and I said this earlier on, you will be seen by some of these more severe protesters as the eyes and ears of the state every time you're out taking photographs.
No, absolutely. I mean, the first thing you're asked is, who are you doing it for? And no matter who you say you're doing it for, whether you're doing it for the Sunday Times, you're doing it for RTE or whatever, you are fake media. Mm-hmm. And straight away, the abuse starts. I mean, you could say you're doing it for the Washington Post, and you would still be regarded as fake media. And straight away, the abuse, the hassle, the pushing takes place. And when you're in the center of a crowd, and you're trying to do your job taking pictures, you are really, really vulnerable. And I have a duty of care to the photographers that I send out to cover events.
Okay, but what about, and this is another text message, what about your civic duty? And your civic duty, obviously, to provide that sort of those photographs to the state, to the Gardaí, investigating something like this.
Yeah, well, I would argue that my civic duty is totally separate from my duty as an independent journalist. As an independent journalist, I also have to abide by the rules and regulations of the NUJ. And the important thing in this state the same as in other states, is for as long as we possibly can to keep journalism independent. And if we start moving away from that and confusing it with civic duty, they are two different things altogether. I abide by my civic duty as a private individual, but as a journalist, I have a totally different, higher calling to maintain democracy in this country and maintain independence. And if we start letting that independence slide, well, then we're in a very, very dangerous situation.
Okay, well, I want to just get your reaction to two final messages, and a huge response to this, I have to say. One says, the photographs are taken in public of a public event. They can be used by both prosecution and the defence. Heaven forbid some editor decides which evidence a court should view. What would you say to that?
Well, I'm not sure what's meant by that. The prosecutor should decide. Well, I'm not sure.
No, basically, they're saying that it can be used by both prosecution and defence. Your photographs, in other words.
They can be used, but I don't want them to be used by either. You know, as far as I'm concerned, and whether they're used by the prosecution or by the defence is relevant to me. I just simply don't want our photographs to be handed over to the Gardaí. And remember, they're not into possession of the defence. They're in possession of the prosecution.
And one final message. Wouldn't it fix the problem if media outlets had a separate published file of redundant images? Although, says this message from Brian, I suspect that those at these protests don't care about the objectivity of journalists in general. And that was your point a moment ago. They don't.
Yes.
They see you as fake news.
They see us as fake news, and they don't actually want us present, and they're happy that they're sending out their own imagery, both video and stills, to their own supporters, which are being digested by their own supporters all the time, and they're getting one point of view. They're not getting an objective point of view.
Finally, Eamon, have you discussed this with Helen McEntee, for example, and expressed your fears and a desire for new legislation to deal with this?
No, well, I'm hoping that is going to be done now through the NUJ, that we're going to take this a step further than we ever took it before. And I'll be happy to be involved in that if the NUJ requests my involvement.
Very good. Eamon Farrell, editor of rollingnews.ie, thanks very much indeed for joining us on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.